Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 138 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my good pal and co-host, Mr. Bradford.
Hi.
Brad, what's going on?
Oh, you know how it is. The temperature's rising. It's very hot. Not a big fan.
It's the dog days of summer for sure.
And fortunately, we're not watching a dog fart movie.
Not yet, at least. No, tonight on the show, we're doing a stocking stuffer because it's a short that I only just recently discovered, and I wanted a chance to talk about it with somebody. And also, our buddy Jonathan Five has downloaded a virus and cannot join us this evening. So. We wish him all the best, and we'll see him hopefully on our next episode.
Jonathan.exe has encountered, hopefully not a fatal error.
404
that,
Jonathan.
That would be very bad if it was a fatal error. Has encountered error.
Yeah, let's not jump the gun here. He's fine. He did communicate to us that he is not podcast worthy tonight, and that's fine. So we wish him a speedy recovery. Anywho, there's a few things that I'd like to talk about this evening. First of which, I brought this up in our podcast Discord, which if you want to join our Discord, the link is in our show notes. So definitely check that out and come join our silly conversation, where I brought up the new seasonal candy corn from Brock's this year. Brock's has tailgate candy corn, which presumably is like all your favorite tailgate football foods: fruit punch, vanilla ice cream, hot dog, hamburger, and popcorn.
I can't.
Exactly two of those flavors I will mess with. The other three can go burn in a trash fire. I don't need them.
I mean, popcorn jelly bean, like the popcorn jelly bellies are pretty good. And I say that as somebody who doesn't like sweets.
Yeah, see, those are my least favorite jelly bellies.
Really?
Can't do it.
Setting aside the Bernie Bots, whatever.
No, you're like the legit, like, even when Jelly Belly's not trying to mess with you, they're still like, hey, you like to eat popcorn, right? What if it was a jelly bean? Not a fan.
All right. To each their own.
Fruit punch, I get. Vanilla ice cream, I kind of get. Hot dog, hamburger, popcorn, I don't know.
I mean, it's candy corn, so they're all going to be bad just from the drop because it's candy corn. And it's going to taste more like wax and gutter oil than anything else. Like, oh, they're so candy. Can we as a society just... like, not with candy corn anymore? Can we? We've killed a couple of things. Paper napkins, I hear, are on their way out. Can candy corn be next? And Hooters, the next thing millennials, can we come together and kill is candy corn, please?
I am willing to sacrifice candy corn if I can still have the mellow cream pumpkins. I know it's basically candy corn by another name, but I enjoy those.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
Because at least they're not trying to elbow in on other holidays like this operation, this honk, rinky dink, whatever. Ugh.
Yeah. So it, for the purposes of our podcast, is tailgate candy corn Halloween's attempt to horn in on football season? I mean, it has to be, right?
I guess, but the thing is that Halloween and football season kind of already coexist.
I know, but the fact that they literally just released it this week, and football season doesn't start for another month. I mean, I guess they're trying to get out there ahead of time, and already they've gotten free advertising because we're fucking talking about it.
This has to be what it is, right? They're going to come out with a new novelty flavor every year. Everybody's going to talk about how gross and bad it is. dumb podcasts like ours are going to buy a bag. Do you, I swear, do not send me a bag for.
No, I will put my cards on the table. I went looking for it today and could not find it.
You know, the one time I wanted to find a novelty food product, I couldn't. You guys told me about the Hot Ones Pringles. Been looking, couldn't find them.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It is, but it's all right. Because it's habanero salsa season and everything is all right.
That's right. Our man Bradford here makes his own habanero salsa.
Oh, it's so good. It's better than anything in the store. I don't know if it's like just my weird palate. And like, this is my salsa hole. It is made for me. And it's disgusting to everybody else. I think it's so good. It's so much better than anything in the stores. It's hot. It's sweet. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, once I learned how to make my own salsa, like the salsa game changed forever for me. Like I can eat, you know, a jar of paste picante, whatever, and it's fine. But there's just nothing like homemade salsa.
It's missing a certain je ne sais quoi. Jarred salsa. There are a couple that kind of come close in a pinch.
Yeah.
But I gotta send you some this year.
I would absolutely love that.
I've got these little baby jars I bought. Not baby food jars, but they're like 8-ounce jars. Maybe I can, once I make a batch and make sure to actually seal it properly, I can send it your way. And we can have a taste test on the show.
8 ounces sounds like just enough for me that, like, if I get tired of it, I don't feel bad about not finishing it.
Right?
Yeah.
Half the time with these salsas, I get one and I don't care for it. And then it's like this weird guilt balance. Like, am I going to waste it? It just gets worse every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not getting any younger in the fridge, but I have this face off with the salsa where I'm trying to decide, I don't want the salsa to go to waste, but it's been in there a week now. And then it just gets gamier and gamier until I have to call it and just get rid of it.
What we found kind of counterintuitively is the best sort of store bought salsa are the store brand salsas. Like we'll buy Lowe's Foods brand, like medium heat salsa. And there's something just like slightly unprocessed enough about it that it seems kind of authentic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just like the blandness that makes it, or if it's there's not enough preservatives in it to keep it on the shelves for, you know, 6 months. But I think it's better than the name brand stuff.
That's an interesting theory, because if it's like other store name stuff, they're making a lot of it, so they're probably like moving through that stock very quickly, so it might be fresher than your like top shelf bougie salsas, you know?
Yeah. Like something about pace. We're spending too much time on salsa.
I think we're gonna spend more time talking about salsa. Well, we've spent longer talking about salsa than the runtime of the thing that we are talking about on this show tonight.
We have. And I have more talking points we have to get to before we can even get to it.
All right. I think we need to cut salsa chat short, but.
Well, we'll get back to salsa chat some other time. Maybe if we do an episode on the Mexican Santa Claus film, we'll come back to salsa.
Oh, that's a fun little tie-in. I can send you and J-Man my salsa, and then we can watch Santa Claus.
That's a good like lead-in for Home for the Holidays. We should put a pin in that.
All right.
Okay, next point of order. It's all over the internet today, and so by the time the podcast releases, I'm sure everybody will be sick of it. But the whole HBO Max Discovery saga, have you been following this, Brad?
So they're pulling a CNN Plus where it's like a fire, like the life rafts have already come out, basically, and they're consolidating everything down and pulling stuff out of their library.
Yeah.
It's going back in the HBO vault. They say it's for a tax cut. I don't really understand how that works. Can you break it down for me?
The larger story is that, you know, AT&T, which owned Warner Brothers and by extension HBO Max, they sold all of that to Discovery, as in the Discovery Channel. And now Discovery has decided they're going to basically liquidate as much of it as they can. I'm still not entirely sure why, but it must have to do with, you know, the amount of debt they've suddenly taken on because they don't understand that Warner Brothers is a massive media conglomerate. I don't know. But basically, yeah, they canceled, like, they canceled the Batgirl movie that they were going to release, a film that was, like, as far as I have read, like 90-some% completed and done. And they decided that they could recoup more money writing it off as a tax write-off than they could actually releasing the thing.
That is buck wild, man.
And, like, it's like the trickle-down effect. Every little thing that comes out, like, builds this picture. Like, they've taken that off the docket. They have canceled a Scooby-Doo film that has also just been completed. They're canceling HBO Max shows left and right. And it's all kind of what it's pointing to is like, well, HBO Max is going to get rolled into the Discovery Channel streaming service, and we're never going to see any of it again.
So which, weird.
Which sucks for, like, the streaming game, because, like, every streaming service that comes out, everyone kind of wonders, like, you know, how long is it going to last and who's going to be the last man standing? And everybody just kind of assumed it was Netflix for the longest time. Just because Netflix is Netflix?
Not so sure anymore, are we?
I think they recently said that the most recent season of Stranger Things didn't even outperform Squid Game, which was just like some wacko monster surprise hit. Yeah. But like their surefire hit, Stranger Things, couldn't even outperform that. So then in my mind, I'm like, well, then what hope is there for any of us?
What? I would, it's an interesting time, because I'd say there isn't really a forerunner right now, right?
You mean,
Netflix
clear...
is still, like, the biggest dog in the game. Like, don't get it twisted, but
yeah,
with all of the news that's coming out, and, like, they're cracking down on sharing accounts and stuff like that, things aren't going so hot. They made Brad buy a subscription for a month so he could play Into the Breach on his phone, and he's pretty not happy about that, but here's your $13, John Netflix. I don't know. What, like, Hulu? Well, I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's a weird time.
Like, the three kind of at the top of the pack right now seem to be, like, Netflix and Amazon and Disney. Everybody else seems to be in some state of struggling right now.
Yeah, Disney's not going anywhere. That's one that I would say is here to stay. What has surprised me is Apple TV Plus. I gave that thing a year and a half. It's still here. It's still kicking. Severance was pretty good. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I still need to check out Severance. I was a big fan of Ted Lasso, kind of despite all of my misgivings about it. There's some good stuff on there. There's some good stuff on that one. But, like, HBO Max, I think, is surprising people because it, like, has by far the deepest and most comprehensive, like, bench of content. And they apparently don't know what to do with it.
It was very impressive. It is very impressive.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a lot of stuff and a lot of good stuff.
And a lot of niche stuff. Things that aren't, you know, Stranger Things or Marvel movies, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like the things that most people wouldn't want to watch, HBO Max was kind of like, yeah, we'll house all of it. And that apparently is not keeping the lights on.
Oops.
So, yeah, it's kind of a dark day for the streaming game. And we only bring all of that up to your attention because the thing we're talking about tonight is an episode of a Netflix streaming series, which I had only just discovered, like, in the past week, and it's on its third season now.
There is one other tie-in, which is that we may see an 8-bit Christmas back into the vault. I think that's where we were actually headed at first.
And yeah, and as far as HBO goes, like, one of the other things they're doing is they've announced today that they are, or they haven't even announced it. People have just noticed that they're quietly pulling some of their original features off of the streaming service, presumably because they're not doing well, quote unquote, even though it's your original movie. You've already made it. It doesn't cost you anything extra to keep it there. What are you doing?
It's weird, right?
Yeah, but like of the five or six that they've announced so far, I think I watched one, like the Seth Rogen one where he about his like great grandfather who falls into a vat of pickles and comes out 100 years later. Oh. I watched that one.
Okay,
it's all right. But where I'm going with this is, you know, if they've done it with like five or six of these, it stands to reason they're going to pull more. And if they keep pulling content like this, there's a very strong possibility that 8-Bit Christmas is going to go in the vault and where we may never see it. We may never see it again.
Like, people are talking about, you know, oh, this is the new age of lost media, but I have to feel like pretty much everything is out there on a torrent site somewhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, stuff that like Netflix isn't releasing on DVD. Yeah. Someone definitely has ripped that and is putting it on a torrent site.
So, yeah, I feel that the age of sort of lost media is more or less sort of behind us, unless you get into like a really weird gray area where something is so obscure and nobody cares about it to the point where it, of course, it just goes away. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anything I mean, like a major service, I feel is going to get ripped and saved by somebody, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one thing that I like about Netflix is that they will farm some of their movies out to like the Criterion Collection just so that they can be, you know, physically out there in the world. But like HBO's not doing that. And Hulu's not doing that. Hell, Hulu is releasing a new Predator movie this week and everybody's freaking out like, why the hell are y'all not putting this in theaters? Blame Disney. But also, I guess part of the reason we're talking about streaming services and stuff tonight is because the episode of TV that we're talking about on the stocking stuffer that's already run for 18 minutes.
More than almost four times the runtime of this short we're about to talk about.
That's a big old whoops-a-doodle, friends. But this thing is a Netflix episode, or rather an episode of a Netflix thing that I only just recently discovered, and there's already three seasons of it. And I don't know if it's because I just wasn't paying attention or it wasn't advertised to me or what, but like, so the show is called Love, Death, and Robots. And I feel like the name was floated out there when it first came out and I kind of just ignored it.
Yes, that is exactly what my experience with this series was. Right. Netflix said, hey, here's this really cool series called Love, Death, and Robots that you might like. And I go, hey, that sounds like 200 other things that I've had advertised to me in the past 3 years. Hard pass.
And no one would fault you for that. Like, I think a coworker of mine called it something. He said it's kind of like the Animatrix. And that just went in one ear and out the other to me. I was like, yeah, okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, in a sense, it's kind of like that. Because what Love, Death, and Robots is it's kind of like an updated version of that old film Heavy Metal. If you've ever seen that, where they took the Heavy Metal comics, the Heavy Metal comic books, and just adapted those comics to a feature film. Just yes. Adapted those stories. It's very Twilight Zone-esque.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Heavy Metal. Yes.
But this is like literally like the new iteration of Heavy Metal. It's sort of the same, from the same cloth, basically. But these episodes, every episode is animated, and every episode is animated in a different style by a different production house. And all of the stories are, you know, 10 to 15 minute sort of sci-fi or horror shorts. And they run the gamut from being like cute little stop motion experiments, like the one we're about to talk about. And then they also go to, you know, hyper realistic CGI that is just way too gruesome for normal human beings to consume.
Luckily for you, we're not normal human beings.
Oh no, but there were definitely episodes in this that I watched last weekend where I'm just like, should I be seeing this?
Oh,
this is horrifying.
So every episode does not contain a robot. I was going in expecting a robot. No robots, which is okay. It's fine.
Right. So this episode is called All Through the House. It's in season two. I think it's episode six. It is, as far as I can tell, the only Christmas-themed short that this series has done so far.
I did a control F on the Wikipedia page with all the episodes. This is the only one that popped up for Christmas. So you right. might be right.
Until season four comes around, we'll never know. But so yeah, All Through the House is your typical story of kids trying to catch a glimpse of Santa Claus. So actually, pause the episode at this point if you haven't watched it. Just go to Netflix and check it out. It is 5 minutes of your day.
Yeah, it is the shortest piece of media we have ever discussed on this podcast.
The shortest thing we've ever dedicated what is apparently now going to be a full episode about.
No. We'll respect your time a little bit, and we'll talk about salsa one more time.
And that was it. Sorry, folks. So it's two children, Billy, and they hear something clattering around the house Christmas Eve night, and they wake up, and they know Santa Claus is here. So they get out of bed, and they sneak downstairs. And I also have to point out that I very much want an ugly Christmas sweater like the one Billy is wearing, with the cool reindeer wearing sunglasses.
It's good.
It's pretty good. They sneak downstairs, and they see like a glimpse of Santa Claus in shadow as he's going around the tree. And they're like, oh my God, it's Santa Claus. We finally caught him. Then the thing takes its turn where a giant prehensile tongue drinks the milk that was left out for Santa Claus and takes the cookies.
It's not even just a prehensile tongue. It is a tendril. It is very, let's just say if this was released on DVD in Japan, it might need a censor. It might need a mosaic over it. Anyways. It's graphic.
Very much. It's extremely graphic, and also it's horrifying. They do like the Hitchcock zoom like they do in Jaws when he sees the first shark attack, when the little girl sees this monster in her house.
Yeah.
Kind of wonderful. And then the thing steps up from behind the tree, and it is this giant behemoth. It's almost like a xenomorph from the Alien movies.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
This is Santa Claus. It corners the kids. It hisses their names. It pats them on the head with its horrifying, like, claw arms.
Before it pats them on the head, it smells them.
Yes.
It does, like, the close-in zoom with its teeth everywhere and smells again, them.
Again, very much like in an Alien film.
Yeah, yes.
It determines that Lee has been good, and it vomits up a fully wrapped Christmas present. It's disgusting. And then it does the same thing to Billy, and it proclaims that Billy is good.
Tells them to stay good.
And it vomits up an even larger gift for him.
Yes.
And it goes up the chimney and goes about its business. And then Billy just opens the present and is like, it's exactly what I wanted. It was a model train set.
It's horrifying at first, but once you realize the central conceit, it turns back to cute in a way.
It's very cute, but then like the more I think about it, it creeps me out.
Because
like
at the end, yeah.
Well, no, you go for it.
At the end, they're both laying in bed, wide-eyed, unable to sleep because of what they've just seen. And one of them goes to the other, what would have happened if we weren't good?
And just hard cut to black.
It's sweet.
It's a great little button to end that on. It's nice. You think it's going to end horribly, and then it doesn't. And so many of these like horror shorts, especially like if you've been marathoning the series like I did to this point, like most of the characters wind up like a bloody mess on the floor. You're just like, oh God, these kids are going to get eaten alive. And instead, no, this monster turns out to be Santa Claus and everything is fine. And then as I'm like lying in bed, imagining this short, thinking back to myself, I'm like, so in this universe, Santa Claus is like an eldritch horror. that kids are not supposed to look at, because if they do, it will shatter their brains.
Yeah, it's a fun take on Santa, and it goes in a different direction for explaining how all of this can be achieved in one night, so to speak. Or maybe there's multiples of these creatures. You don't know.
That's true.
It's a very cute idea, though, because, you know, this is a creature that ostensibly could be wreaking all kinds of havoc and horror in the world, but it's working for good. It's cute.
Yeah, and I appreciate about it that it's so short, because as soon as it ends, it sends your mind just racing in 100 different directions. Like, where else could this story go? And I'm kind of glad that it's only 5 minutes, because it could easily go sour.
Yes.
But it's the kind of short that gets you to think about, like, other ideas. And that's part of why I was so drawn to this series once I got into it, was because so many of the shorts are so, I won't say unfinished, but they end so abruptly that you can't help but imagine what happens after the credits roll.
Yes.
And I think that's the sign of good storytelling.
Absolutely agreed. So one name in the credits really stuck out to me, and I think you know which one. Blink Industries.
I was hoping you would say that. Yes.
Worked on this short. This is a beautifully it's got a beautiful stop motion puppet effect, sort of like what you see with the Leica films. Really well done. But this is from Blink Industries, which works on probably at least for my part my favorite YouTube series of all time. That would be Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, which is finally getting new stuff in September. I can't wait.
It seems like it's been forever, but it's finally here.
Yes. For the uninitiated, just go to YouTube and look up Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. It's worth your time. 7 and 8 are fake. Don't watch those. Those aren't real. Those aren't canonical. Some, I think they're like fan ones.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched them, but they look like they suck. 1 through 6. Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared.
Yeah. It's great. If you really want to just let your brain melt, go and watch any of 100 Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared reaction videos where people who don't understand what they're about to see try to rationalize it, and it's a train wreck. Every time, it's a train wreck.
Yes. So, fan favorite Blink Industries. They do a bunch of other stuff, too.
Yeah, it turns out like they do a lot of music video work and a lot of commercial work. Kind of like the company that we highlighted a few months ago that did the Christmas Every Day short. It's kind of one of those companies. A lot of their talent goes to, you know, advertising and music videos, but they do a lot of good animation work too.
Yes.
Love it. I love that kind of thing. But Bradford, would you recommend people check this one out?
With the caveat that I don't know anything about the rest of the series, I might check out a couple. I enjoyed my time with this. It's cute. It's fun.
Yeah.
Don't show it to your children.
I was kind of afraid you might have tried to watch this with your child.
Well, thankfully Netflix, to their credit, put in the one sentence episode summary, not for children. Was crystal clear.
Perfect. I didn't even think about that until I told you to watch it, and I thought, oh no, what if he tries to watch it with his kid?
Oh no. I was familiar with this series. I was at least familiar enough with this series to know that it's not something for kids. So
okay, that's yes. Fair. Well, but yeah, we have spent maybe way too much time talking about this, and this stocking stuffer is already running over 30 minutes. So I guess the very last thing we need to address is like our litmus test for these things. Brad, would you put this on at a Christmas party?
I think you kind of have to know your audience. Obviously, if there's any children present, probably wouldn't.
That's true.
But if it was like close friends, yeah, I'd put this in a playlist just to have on in the background, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a nice little surprise, I think.
Yeah.
Keep people on their toes. I would too. It's short enough that I don't think it would be too intrusive.
Yes, agreed.
But yeah, that's all through the house from Love, Death, and Robots. And that's all I've got to talk about tonight. We kind of went through my notes fairly quickly, and you know, I wasn't expecting to talk about Salsa or HBO as long as we did, but we did.
But life is all about, you know, variety. Got to stop and smell the roses.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, I mean,
thank you so much for listening.
That'll do it for this stocking stuffer of Christmas Creeps. Hopefully next episode will be just around the corner, and we'll either be talking about Heaven Help Us, a Talking Dog movie, or another summer action movie. We'll see where the month takes us. But until then, you can contact us all kinds of different ways. You can tweet at us at Christmas Creeps. You can contact us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christmas Creeps. We're at christmascreeps.com. And that's where you can get all of the different ways to download this show. We're on Spotify and YouTube and Apple and all the rest. And finally, if you enjoy this show, recommend it to a friend, because this is the kind of the season where people, for some reason, start trying to find Christmas-themed podcasts to listen to. Christmas in July is behind us, of course. So, tell a friend about the show. Brad, am I missing anything? Am I forgetting anything?
I think you got most of it. The days are getting shorter. We're on the road to Christmas. We are on another side of the time cube. We are on our way to that beautiful snowy time of year we like to call Christmas.
Home for the Horror Days is just around the corner, too.
Yes, yes. Home for the Horror Days is just around the corner. We got that to look forward to. Then there's the big boy.
There's the big day itself. Tom Hanksgiving.
T-Hanksgiving. Join the Discord if you can. We might have some surprises planned, both in podcast form and for the Discord. So, if you haven't yet joined in the fun, we have all sorts of discussion about food, movies, games, awful things on the internet. Come and join us.
Yeah.
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier. We'd love to chat with the folks listening to our show and find out where, you know, what makes y'all tick. So come and check us out. But that's going to do it for Christmas Creeps. I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
And we will see you. We will see you. I've given up.
It's okay. It's, me too, bud.
It's been 8 years. I've given up trying to think of a sign off. It's not going to happen. Good Lord.
Has it really been 8 years?
Time makes fools of us all, my friend.
Goodness gracious.
I know.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.